quorum.
We did. We're
only
good.
Missing two people. So Matt and Dave not quite here yet. So what are we, 7:43. First order of business is the public comment. So anyone have anything to say off agenda? Okay. Seeing none, approval of the meeting minutes.
Those are attached. Yes. Copies. I wasn't here, so I'd have to abstain on that.
Let's see, just a bit of an update. Last time we discussed the meats project, Akron brought a list of projects that were being proposed for fiscal 19 to 20. Mm-hmm. And meats, the city council at the following meeting took off meats, and that's been replaced with a project on the top of Center and Valley, kind of around that sharp curve.
Okay.
It's that area's in pretty bad shape, so. And it's also, at least from my perspective, a safety issue.
But it's actually Center at all the way around.
All the way around. Okay.
From Cedar Villa.
Okay. But it's not the portion of Valley that was already.
No.
Okay. No, it's just at the intersection of Valley and Cedar Villa. There's a portion of it that's called Valley, and then called Center.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But the replaced portion goes all the way down to James.
Yes, correct.
Yeah. So.
Okay. That's the portion that
right,
we saw.
Right, that we drove up. Okay.
Yeah, it's the crack seal.
And it's got potholes and.
Yeah, try that curve going northbound on a motorcycle. There's a big dip. Get your attention.
Okay, so that any corrections to the meeting minutes, or do you have a motion to approve?
I motion to approve them.
Yes, that's the correction of the Center Valley replacement in lieu of meats on the next list. And no discussion, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And I just abstain. Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to make a correction to the agenda. I'm no longer mayor, I'm past mayor. I worked real hard to get there.
So noted. Next item of business is an update, I guess, on the infrastructure management plan. Maybe we'll do that before we discuss or go through a list of accomplishments and recommendations. So Akram, I guess that's you.
The rehab project.
Okay. Just to update you on the street project, technically it's done. The only couple of things that left is, matter of fact, today they're doing the AC burns at a couple of locations, a couple of streets.
AC burns. Okay.
Yeah. Curbs.
Curbs. You okay? It's on Loma and Mesa. Also...
Is this to replace existing?
No. It's a... The way the street is, it's kind of like varies the width and so on, and the edge of the pavement is always, it's being deteriorated from, because there is no protection on it. So we're putting a AC berm in order to protect the edges of the pavement, and at the same time, also it helps in the drainage this way.
Is there drainage up against the berm? Is there a reason that... Maybe a redwood header wasn't used instead? Are you trying to keep people on the road?
We're going to also define the road this way. By having a red header, it would not work the way it is, because it varies all along the street. So we're doing the berms along both sides. And this way also, there are some, in some locations, there is a V-ditch, which is kind of dangerous without any protection. So we're putting that, and also we'll have openings. So this way the street will sheet flows into it, into that drainage. So it's both is protection for the street and also to kind of control the drainage.
Is that on Loma or on Mesa?
Both.
Both, okay.
The ones which we did.
Does it go all the way down the whole blue area that's been
repaved? That is correct.
Okay.
The areas that we have paved.
Okay. Is that the area or the reach of Mesa that is substandard width?
Correct.
Okay.
That is correct.
So we haven't increased...
We're not increasing the width of the street.
Okay.
We're keeping it the way as is, because otherwise we're going to be removing a lot of trees and some of the encroachments of people's encroaching on the street. So we're not making any widening of the street, the actual pavement.
So the berm will be outside of the existing pavement?
It'll be right at the edge of the pavement.
Perfect.
Yep.
Okay. So the section is tilted, so you look carefully at the drainage, right? So it's where it's a crown section, it's going to collect water on both sides. The reason is if you're not building curb and gutter and you're directing drainage down an edge, right, it tends to wear the roadway a little faster, where the water runs if it's not concrete. So what might end up in time is that those edges are going to deteriorate maybe faster than they would have if they just sheet it off. Yes, it will prevent raveling, so it's kind of a trade-off, but I assume
there's
cost reason why concrete wasn't put in, or it's a political reason, or...
It's a...
Because normally if you're channeling drainage, right, to an inlet, you want concrete because it'll last forever.
Curb and gutters has been kind of like a dirty word in the city, to be honest, over the years that no one wants to put in a curb and gutter and so on, except we've done few places where there is existing curb and gutter and we just connect it.
Mm-hmm.
But when there isn't anything, so and the street is kind of like, it's not built
standard.
To its full width or to the standard width and so on. So we try to, as a situations like here, where the road is kind of narrows and we cannot widen it, we're putting that berms. We're not putting them everywhere. It's just in locations where it's really needed. Those two streets, I feel that it is, one, it defines the roadway, and also it protects, because when we're paving, we notice that all the edges is kind of like, you know, broken up and not as a straight line. So that's the way we did it. The drainage, yes, we're also keeping some openings in it, so the water will keep flowing on the where it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
So
which
that's
are in ditches.
Yes,
right.
Ditches in people's yards, depending on the slopes and so on and all that. So we'll try to maintain as much as possible the way the drainage, existing drainage.
Okay.
And depending on the weather, we've been, the weather hasn't been very helpful the last few months. There is few streets that is going to be slurry sealed. It's scheduled on tomorrow to be done. And so, but my last time I checked, there might be some rain tomorrow.
Tomorrow rain. Yeah.
Cross our fingers, you know, as you know, slurry, we cannot do it on a wet
cold days.
Going back
days.
To the berm really quick,
yes.
What kind of asphalt are you using, regular or rubberized?
No, it's regular, but it is, there's a special mix just for the berms.
Okay, and what about the pavement? Is the pavement also regular?
No, it's a regular AC, that's correct.
Okay, because rubberized basically or some kind of a sealant will give you a better life, especially where the drainage area is.
Yeah, it is. We've used a regular AC in the project, so it's not rubberized. But when they do the berms, it is... they'll put some sealant before they install
that. Right, so basically some kind of a sealant, right, at this...
I mean, that's something in addition, if you... that's. But we have not specified that.
Well, depending on how much water is coming out, too, I don't know.
Yeah. We have not specified that there is a need for that. Okay, so that's the update for the street projects. Cross our fingers that we can do the slurry tomorrow. Otherwise, it's going to be rescheduled. We've been rescheduling it for the last, few times. Okay? Any other questions on that?
Was there we had money left over from the Mesa Henderson storm drain project. Mm-hmm. Did we add any additional streets as a result of that, or
we have changed order? The change order of the contract was approved, so I don't know the streets off the top of my head, but there was some added. Yeah, there was some. I don't know that
we added Sycamore. Okay. We added, the Sycamore was one of the streets that we added. Sycamore
that
was complete
totally.
To paving.
So we added, I just don't know, but you did add them.
Okay,
yes.
Yeah, and I guess that was one that was pretty beat up.
We actually had a resident came in and complained and her husband had fallen off an uneven area, crack, and so, it was pretty much...
And we've added, Parker and Larson, that's Slurry.
And we've added some.
And we added another street for Slurry since we're doing the whole neighborhood.
And we added a crack ceiling as well on top of that. Okay. So we added a number of things on top.
Correct. Okay.
And that's it for the infrastructure. Okay. Discussion of in lieu of discussion of the budget recommendations, let's do that last maybe. And is everyone okay if we table the discussion of the self-evaluation process?
That was kind of Dave's.
Because Dave is in charge of that kind of, or by default. So we'll table that till next month's meeting or next meeting, if that's all right with everybody. And I guess let's move into the accomplishments and recommendations. Per the meeting with council that I attended on the budget, is it the first or second budget meeting?
It was the first.
First budget meeting.
May 7th.
Yeah. The council's appeared to express a need to, or asked to see accomplishments or recommendations from this committee and complained that, what have we been doing for a year? Let's see what you've been up to. So I suggested that we were working on a list of recommendations that could be presented to council. And Paige, would you like to start off?
Sure.
I've asked everyone to think about and put together their list.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, from this past year and so, and see if we can come together with a complete list that maybe everyone agrees can be forwarded for review and possibly action.
I did see Matt's list. I can pull that up. Mm-hmm. So that,
I think everyone saw Matt's
that.
List.
Yeah.
It was emailed. Correct? I think he had four items or so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I didn't know that I got that.
Okay.
You got the CC
forward?
He may not
I
have.
I thought he did. Okay.
If you could just shoot it to me.
Yeah.
Was that recently or?
Yeah, so it was the day before yesterday, I believe.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, it was in the email that he said he's not that big.
Right. In the body of that email. It was an attachment. It wasn't an attachment.
Maybe I didn't get it or it didn't come through. And we had all the technical difficulties on Sunday with our internet and stuff.
I can pull it up too. Okay. I went through and kind of just made a list of all the projects that we've reviewed on this committee. Mm-hmm. We've gone over the sewer project, the street rehab project, the DG trail project. We talked about the Cannon Wall. We've also talked about the new science building over at Villa Park High School. So I think overall, and I listed them and I can share them with you guys via email, but for the sewer project, we reviewed the plans. I think that was one of our accomplishments. And then we had suggested further review by the health department. The street rehab project, that was another one where we reviewed their evaluation process. And we kind of requested that they send us a list of everything, which I did see that Steve sent that through. Suggested crack slurry seal as a more alternative option. And then Leah also suggested that we evaluate the surveying monuments, make sure those are maintained and evaluated.
I think that actually came from Dave. He's the surveyor.
Yeah, there you go.
To make sure that that the any monuments are reset and actually missing monuments are set too. I think he requested, which is law. The contractors are supposed to be doing that.
Yep.
Yeah, the problem is it's very hard to.
Right. City staff has to be able to enforce that, either contractually in the specifications, and somebody, the construction manager on the site, needs to be able, before we pay them the final, right, their closing invoice, release their bonds, you have to say, give me those corner records, give me that record of survey. Mm-hmm. So it's really,
That's one of the things which is put in the specification that is... they're required to locate all the existing monuments, surveys, and also to reestablishing them, afterwards. So there is a bid item in the project, is for survey locations and reestablishment as needed, and it's required that the contractor provide us from the surveyor, certification that is done. Yes,
but it would be.
How many centerline ties have you actually received since 2011-12?
Off my head, I don't. But every project that we get that certification,
as long as it's being.
But again,
diligently.
Yeah.
Because since so many where there's no surveyors in most agents, public agencies now, surveyors are far between, if at all existing in the agencies, that tends to they put it in their specs, but if nobody is staying on top of that. It is important, especially as property values go up. And we know this from recent experience in the city of La Jolla and San Diego, where extreme property values, they were letting it slide all these years. And they actually got sued by the state for that. And they had to go out and actually reset all their monumentation in the city. And it was very expensive to do so.
For a layman, what causes, is there ground movement that causes the monuments to move?
No, it's paving and construction.
Okay.
So every time you pave a street, if they're not careful to inspect it, to look for the monumentation, and every tract has monumentation, whether it's set in the curbs or on the center line of the street. And they're supposed to locate those, identify those. If they can't protect those, they're supposed to tie them out before they start work. Mm-hmm. And after they're done paving, they're supposed to come out and reset them. And that way, next time we rehab or next time we have to do something, or that owner is building a new house, he knows where survey control is, and he can adequately establish line of the property line.
Just
to clarify, we do not touch the property line monuments or points. In other words, if the property, has, it's only what's in the streets.
Yeah, but sometimes the property corridor is set at the curb.
A lot
of times you will find it like
anything within the public right.
Right.
Anything with the public
right. But who's responsible for maintaining the monuments in the city? Is that you?
We have records of all the type homes.
But if a monument is destroyed, the state requires somebody from the city be responsible.
I guess the city engineer would
have to be. That'll be you. Yeah. Okay. So the things that we ran into with other projects is basically you put it all on the contractor. Technically, the contractor doesn't care if he takes it or puts it in, because it doesn't show up on the plan, and he doesn't know how to bid it, because the number of monuments is not shown.
That's why we have the surveyor. He's supposed to have a surveyor, and most of the projects that is being done in here, case surveying is the one who is really contractor surveyor. So we depend on him providing us the certification.
Okay, but when he... What I'm trying to express to you is, well, case looks at your plan and tries to bid it, how does he know how many monuments he has to do?
Well, that's okay. The money, it is, says some of the monuments are not shown on the plans. They are supposed to, out in the field, is to verify and relocate all the monuments that are.
Yeah, but this is after he gets the contract.
Yes.
But before he gets the contract, how does he bid it?
I mean,
basically what's happening.
What it is they do it as a lump sum. I mean, that's what they do, is they figure out how much, you know.
Okay, this is one of the things that we're running into a lot of times is the city, this is another project up in the Inland Empire that we did. Mm-hmm. And there's a problem between the surveyor and the contractor and the city. What happened is the contractor basically bid it as a lump sum, like you said. And when they went out there, there was a lot more monuments than there was supposed to be. So the contract, the surveyor wanted a change order because there is more monuments. So what we show on our plans is we definitely show all of the monuments that are all out there. So that's one thing that we have to look at is, mm-hmm. whatever we're doing plans is to go back, even if you don't want to spend the money to survey it yourself, because you're just doing grind and overlay, mm-hmm. is to look at the monumentation from records.
The track maps.
From the track maps and show them to be restored.
And because then that protects the city, too, from change orders. You bid it as we don't want change orders. So.
Yeah. So that's what we...
Yeah, we don't bid it as each. We've always been bidding it as a, you know, one item.
Okay.
So this way it is, you know, trying to...
It's just an idea. Yeah. I mean, I'm just telling you what our experience has been. Yeah. And, you know, you guys are free to take it or just...
We'll
keep it
that in. Yes.
Sorry, Paige.
You're
and next time.
Where was I?
Yeah.
The DG Trail Project, I think one of the major recommendations was just using a trail stabilizer. I know you provided some specifications for them to look into. That was on the list. The Cannon Wall, Dave had mentioned that, I think we kind of reviewed what had happened with prior failures, and then it was suggested that we, you know, you could do some long-term surveying just to make sure that it's within range. I think that was tabled, though. We didn't go anywhere further with that. And then, just in general, I think there was a couple different times where we had recommended maybe pursuing alternative funding sources. So I think it's kind of in line with what Matt had said. I think probably overall this last year, what we've done is review the projects that have been ongoing and more than anything kind of provided oversight, various different recommendations. I couldn't really come up with any type of major one item. It's just a list of many small items. So that's what I have.
Okay. Very good. Perhaps you could email that to the whole committee, and then we'll perhaps try to get one document prepared that reflects, I mean, a lot of those things that you mentioned, I also mentioned, and Matt also mentioned. Mm-hmm. So.
When I championed this establishment of this committee, my thought was not that we would do projects, but that we provide just what we're doing today is provide advice. And I think Paige summarized some of the things we're doing. You know, I think if you look at just about every aspect of our infrastructure, we've had a discussion about it at some point during the past year. We've talked about streets and street maintenance. We've talked about drainage. We've talked about this, sewer maintenance recommendations for sewer maintenance, and other items. So I think we're doing what, was envisioned. Not coming up with a specific product. We don't have any staff, and to support the committee except for city staff. And these guys are overburdened, but we're providing with your professional expertise and insight. To give a we all have additional experience and insights to share with Ackerman, with Steve. So I think we're doing what I was hoping that we would do. So, okay. You know, we only have Ackerman for 2 6-hour shifts a week, and, and so it's important to have some support.
Right.
And some a group for him to bounce ideas off of, and for us to, you know, bring him suggestions. And that's what's occurring.
Well, hopefully we'll be able to keep on doing that.
Well, yes, I think the committee members have been doing a great job at that. And just from our discussion today, like, you know, the suggestion regarding the use of, you know, specifications for asphalt and, you know, whether to use concrete or asphalt curb, those are good things for staff to consider.
Yeah. I guess my greatest concern is that maybe some of the recommendations be considered before they're actually, a lot of the information that we get is already in the ground.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not, you know, the advice or the recommendations are not always implemented, maybe, before construction actually happens. So I'm hoping that there's a way that before this next fiscal year's streets get put in the ground and constructed, that maybe some of the recommendations can, and yes, it may slow things down a little bit, but I would argue that that's okay, that now would be a good time to try to consider. I think the considerations a lot of times are not burdensome,
mm-hmm.
and will not take a lot of staff's time,
mm-hmm.
or effort to implement, but the timing and not just trying to push the project out, but to take a moment and actually consider maybe some of our recommendations before the next project goes out would be helpful.
Yeah.
I think it would benefit protection for the city as well.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, we're all homeowners here and we've all got a vested interest. So.
We all have skin in the game,
yeah.
You know. So we kind of come at things at a maybe a little bit different angle than staff would.
Yeah.
So, okay. So maybe we'll discuss, or do you guys have any input on the budgetary suggestions for next year's fiscal? Because the big question marks were how much do we want to spend, say, on street rehab? Sewer is, I understand, is set because that's the tax, right?
Yeah, we have the sewer fund,
the special assessment.
Right.
So,
sure.
Could you remind me what that budget number is for sewer? Do you recall?
Not off the top of my head.
Okay.
I have to actually do it because in July it gets put on your tax roll, but I have to go and verify it. It hasn't changed. The only way it can change is by a vote of the people.
Okay.
So we have no ability to adjust by CPI or we have to. It's a set rate because it was approved by the voters in early 2000s, I want to say.
So for that reason, I didn't really think about the sewer funding part because I recalled that it was.
There's actually two. There's a pump station one, and there's a sewer overall surcharge.
Okay.
So there's a two separate.
Right, but those are designated separate funds.
Yeah. Parcel specific.
Right, and sewers are being looked at. I think you mentioned earlier in the year, that sewers are looked at with the street as a part of the street rehab project.
Mm-hmm.
And so depending on that level of funding, I think maybe we might need to look at, depending on how much there is, we'll have to see, you know, if all,
I'm not mistaken, there's
more
about 350,000
on the sewer. 350,000?
I think it's about 350,000.
I have to verify.
Now, the amount of that assessment has not changed since it was
adopted. No, it can't by law change until the voters. Voters would have to make a move to change it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's set.
Yeah, having been here since 81, you know, we maintained the sewers out of the general fund prior to that, prior to the adoption. I mean, we had to maintain the sewers in some fashion, but we inadequate resources were dedicated to maintaining the sewers. That's my recollection anyway. Before the sewer assessment was established. That was why it was established, is things had gotten out of hand. We had to go back and do a lot of remedial work. You know, we've had inflation since 2000, and, you know, what happened to that part of the general fund that was going to the, you know, to maintain our sewers?
Mm-hmm.
costs are going to go up, is the $350,000, whatever we're getting from the assessment, is that adequate at this point to continue to maintain our sewers? Particularly in the, you know, in terms of a long-term asset management approach?
So a few years ago, we did a master plan, and we video all the sewer lines, mm-hmm. and we're following that master plan to do, you know, all the ones that really in a, you know, worse shape, mm-hmm. and also the ones that is, we're doing it in coordination with the streets. So it's not exactly, we're not doing all the years that it's being recommended, the project that being recommended.
So are you getting
so
behind,
maybe we're
are we behind,
behind
schedule?
About one year, let's say.
So we're behind about $350,000.
Plus or minus.
Okay.
You know, off my head, you know, that's, yeah.
Okay.
But we go look at all the, you know, projects that have been recommended, and we're scratching them off from the list as needed.
Yeah. Is there any plan to get caught up?
Well, it's all the, whatever the funding is availability.
Well,
that's depends
what
on
is
the
staff recommending to?
I think
are we tackling,
I mean,
like the street rehab, are we tackling
the
worst
yes,
sewers
yeah.
regardless of whether streets are being done? Because that's,
that is correct.
That's a serious.
That is correct. I mean, we're tackling the worst ones.
Issue.
That's, you
right.
know, first thing.
Understood.
And I think we'd, the ones that we have, I think we're okay. It's not like something if it would cause a major collapse or anything if it got delayed a year or so. So all the ones that is, it has, it requires more of a small repairs or relining and things like that. But the major ones that needs to be replacement, complete replacement, we've been doing those as on the top list.
Okay. Getting back to my question, we're a year behind. So
I would say yes.
Is there any plan to get us, you know, is there any staff recommendation on increasing our funding year by year?
Well, increasing the funding, with the council would have to vote to put something on the ballot.
Right, but the council's oblivious to this. We need a staff recommendation to tell us, okay, this is the situation, we're
at this
a year
point,
behind.
Based on what Akram's saying, it's not an urgent enough situation. I'm not for a year behind. It's not an urgent enough situation that it's not a compelling argument, I would argue, to put it on the ballot.
Uh-huh.
So I'm not bringing it.
I'm not suggesting you put it on the ballot. You know, we have general fund money too, and
could we,
you know,
supplement?
Could
we supplement? So, if we're talking about $350,000 behind, we're talking about supplementing from the general fund, $350 to add, so about $700
over a period
per
of time,
sewer. Right?
Yeah, maybe
right.
there might be a, you know, a 7-year horizon where you take $50,000 a year to augment to help get us caught up.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, there are more demands on the general fund than there is available general funds. So.
Certainly, yeah. But
that's sort of the reality. So it has not reached a point where Akram or he's recommended that we address if the council. There is a reserve that we have that we're reestablishing. So to the extent that something does, we're in a position to address it very quickly. Not just a general fund reserve, but an infrastructure reserve.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the thing is, we do have $350 a year.
Right.
And that should be used to
address
the
completely.
Worst sewer problems first.
Yes.
And correct any health code violations.
And any unspent funds, they have to, by law, be spent on that. They can't be used or diverted
elsewhere. Anything else. Okay. All right.
But the $350,000 is, at this point, it's not, are we getting, every year, are we getting a little bit further behind?
Since it's been established in early 2000s, I would say if you're only a year behind, you're actually pretty you're close to holding your own. Because if you figure like 10, 15 years and we're a year behind, we're not far, far behind. I mean, I would argue from a...
The thing with sewer, too, is that the life of a new sewer line is like 50 years or something. There's more than that. So sewers last a long time.
Okay.
If as long as the quality of the construction and the connections are inspected and that we ensure mm-hmm. that a good job is done when they're actually rehabbed.
But no trees.
And no trees are...
Yeah, well, you know, tree roots, that's what kills sewer.
Right. But as long as that's occurring and mm-hmm. you know the roots shouldn't be an issue, then we should be able to continue catching up because we don't have to do, unlike streets where you have to go back and redo them hopefully in 10 plus years and not before.
So, and we do clean the sewer lines on a regular basis.
Right.
You know, we have a program that we do every year, half of the city.
Yeah.
So technically every sewer is being cleaned once every 2 years.
Okay.
Yeah, it is, except in certain areas where it's critical, where we have a lot of grease and so on, especially in this area, we clean them more than that. So that's good. We'll try to get rid of as much of tree roots as possible. But yes, there are some intrusions.
So the cleaning, you get double duty by inspection at the same time,
yes.
Right?
Yeah. Correct.
So everything's filmed. So, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you know what the latest condition is.
Not all the streets are filmed every year, but they get cleaned.
But wouldn't
and,
that be
you know,
easy
yeah,
they, to do?
They do that, but it's, you know...
Separate
so it's every year.
Yeah.
Every year.
Separate.
It's separate.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Separate operation.
All right. So any input, I guess, on budget for the streets and storm drain?
Well, we had a budget recommendation from our consultant to maintain our streets at their current condition. I think there was a number in a recommendation in excess of $1 million.
I believe it's actually $688,000.
About 700.
It's in a study I think I sent out to you all. $700,000 or $688,000.
Yeah.
And to improve it would be about $891,000.
Yeah.
$895,000. So that's probably what you're thinking is to improve the RPCI.
Okay. So. Yeah. And yeah, the first objective is just to keep them
right.
at the current level.
So that's sort of. Candidly, that's the target we'll be recommending this year.
Okay.
A minimum of 690, 700, whatever the 688, I guess it's 688, 200.
I rounded up to 700, in other words.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the recommendation that we are planning. The council obviously can do whatever they want to, but staff are targeting that as the foundation.
Yeah,
and that is funded from a...
And that's for mostly the street rehab. Is Lee and I were talking the other day about breaking down the budget recommendation to include specific categories. Like one category would be street rehab, on the overall street maintenance budget.
Mm-hmm.
So it'd be like. Street rehab, and then general maintenance, like going in and repairing areas where you have an area of subsidence and significant deterioration. Like there's a nice one over on Valley.
Yeah. Okay.
Valley.
Yeah, you go up where they, where that guardrail's up, where somebody ran through the wall, just east of that, a couple of, 100 yards or so, there's an area but there are areas like that around the city
mm-hmm.
where there are collapses, where you go in and, we did that two or three years back where we did patch repairs.
And we just completed just last week also some repairs at different locations where there are depressions or potholes and so on at different locations.
Mm-hmm.
Even one of them is on Valley.
Yeah. But anyway, where we would... put a budget item together for, so that we have money for street repairs. So you've got street rehab, street repairs, and then Lee recommended an annual budget for slurry seals.
And I would include crack sealing.
And crack sealing,
I'd like to suggest that possibly...
Go through your recommendation later. Because she has a whole separate
So our... Bill and I went through our past year of files and all of that. So we concur with a lot of what Paige said as far as the efforts of the committee, and that's to review both the sewer plans and the street rehab plans, and
well,
talked about DG.
Just,
okay. So, okay. Well, I guess for accomplishments, we had 8 items, and that included...
Can you guys forward me a copy of that? It looks like it's printed out somewhere. Can
sure.
I get a copy just so I
it's
can,
just something that
my notes aren't
going to
match
up.
And keep up with it.
Yeah, I didn't
We're
going to
combine
distribute.
Everybody's notes
yeah,
and
everybody
give you a
notes.
Big list.
Yeah, because there's a lot of overlap. So on the sewer project, again, we reviewed that. We provided input on the health code
separation.
Violation and the separation that should occur for health department reasons. I would say that would have costed, if we were fined, it would have costed the city maybe $40,000 if that wasn't corrected. So the option that was constructed was to line it instead, is our understanding, mm-hmm. rather than to create the health code required separation. So we also reviewed the street plans in the early stage of development. I'd say we offered to plan check those for staff, but due to timing or whatever, that offer was not taken up. So once we saw the prelim, we really didn't see it again. It just went to construction. I think that would be helpful
mm-hmm.
if the committee, it might, like I said, slow things down schedule-wise, but it might be helpful to see that before
Definitely.
It goes to
yeah.
construction. We observed the DG erosion throughout the city, and we provided solutions to help with that erosion, including providing the technical specs to use stabilized DG. I know that there's an upcoming DG item on the budget for the next fiscal year. We want to urge council to consider, at least in those steeper areas, maybe going with the stabilizer to help prevent erosion and this ongoing maintenance hassle that apparently is occurring. We reviewed and identified errors in the pavement management plan, namely some streets that were labeled as low PCI and to be rehabbed sooner rather than later are actually in great condition, and some others were identified as in very, very bad condition. So brought that to the attention of staff. And the other one is we identified streets. We made a list of those streets with the lowest PCI index to be rehabbed first. And we're happy that this next fiscal year's list complies with that recommendation. Thank you. And we also reviewed the ADA ramp locations and paths of travel and presented photos of ramps in the same situation that the state has built in their parks and some other areas where they have DG trails, but at the intersections, there's actually concrete ramps, not detectable warnings stuck on DG, I guess, mm. that tend to, where the DG erodes and it becomes a trip hazard, and I don't know what kind of a maintenance hassle that is to repair, but for this next ADA path of travel ramp discussion or project that's on the books for next fiscal year or in the future, that we'll have to consider maybe doing something like that as a long-term maintenance solution for those conditions. We reviewed the summary of the 2018 speed study and recommendations. I think Matt had, one of his recommendations had to do with that speed study because there was supposed to be some speed limit sign
yeah.
changes. I don't know if those have been replaced yet or not.
We're going to be taking that to the city council to adopt an ordinance because I had the consultant redo a couple of locations to verify the speed data is correct and so on, and a couple of locations where really they are the width of it is less than 40 feet, so this way they don't need to be on the speed ordinance, so we took them out and so on.
Okay.
So there's some modifications and we'll take it to the city council.
Okay. The interesting part is the speed study, when I reviewed it again, it did look like a couple sections of streets or a few were actually going to be increased. The speed
that
is
going correct.
To be
Lemon
increased.
Is going to be increased.
Levin is going to be.
And we had him redo it one more time, and
to confirm that.
To confirm it, and it's also
because people already drive really, really fast.
Yes.
So if we post, and I know there was conflicting sign things that would need to be corrected also, but. Speed study is speed study, but I guess as everybody, I don't know if that's something that can be. I don't know how people feel about increasing speed on certain streets.
School year.
It's done during off peaks, so it is. It's not during the peak hours. So yes, during the school year.
Because a lot of the people that use the level Santiago.
Yeah,
all the way, because you know that's one of the areas that we are very familiar with, and people just drive like crazy on Santiago.
But at the same time, it's done
past
during off peak hours.
Every time we get out, it's like go out at your own risk, because I usually drive in the opposite lane before I go into the regular lane, because people, specifically people that are going to drop off their kids. They're running really fast. I mean,
That section wasn't.
It's not. It's the speed limits on that section does not change.
I looked at because that.
But the average speed I think was 38 miles versus the posted at 35.
I think it's more like 55.
But I think it's a lot more than 38.
That's the reason we do it off peak. So this way you don't catch those, you know, cut through and trying to. Meet their deadlines, or let's put it this way:
drop off their kids, get rid of
their kids.
On Lemon Street, what you said you're going to be recommending increasing the speed limit?
The speed survey, and it's done twice. I had them. That's why I've been delaying it in order to redo the data collection and so on. And it is it's going to be recommended to increase it by 5 miles.
So it'll be 40 mile an hour?
No, it'll be, I don't have it off
me. Yeah, I believe it's 35 and going to 40.
Yeah, it's and also the ones which is going to be increased is on Villa Park. And especially in the portion that is by the county area. And that's, and you could see the county now, it's much higher than than within our section. So, and I had them redo the speed survey also again, and we cannot justify it to keep it the way it is.
I think it's 40 miles an hour currently.
Yeah, it's,
and you're recommending?
It might be going to 45.
45, okay.
Yeah.
Before you do that, take a look at the transition on Catella with Atualda, because the street makes a kink.
Mm-hmm.
So take a look at that before you increase the speed,
because
the transition is not long enough for even 40 miles an hour. But
those are, you
take
know,
a look at that.
No, that'll expose the city to liability for any accidents that occur at that intersection. And if it doesn't meet, if it doesn't meet current transition standards for 40, if we increase it, are we exposing the city to more liability, because the next accident, and if they check the transition length, then it could be an issue.
Would you recommend any signage to make motorists aware of that transition, or is that something we could do to reduce our liability?
That's the traffic expert right here,
okay.
Mr. Akram.
And he has to work with the city of Orange too, because that portion of it is abutting. This is where it's half of it Orange, half of it.
Right.
But the problem, Orange did not address it when they improved the intersection. They should have addressed it then.
Yeah, when they added the second left
turn. When they added the left turn, but they didn't. So
so the liability would really be in Villa Park's city limits, right?
It would probably.
More on.
It would be both.
Is Orange also increasing the speed limit to 45? Because they are basically coming from the freeway to Catella. It's all sided at 40. And you're saying basically from
there's
going to
be some transition in between. So, we'll
okay.
We'll provide you with if that,
check the transition length.
I know the transition is substandard because I checked it. Okay, let's keep going.
Okay. So the last item on the accomplishments for me was the review of the 2017 Storm Drain Master Plan update. And just to confirm that, the number one priority on the update or in the master plan for the $800,000, that work on the 96-inch pipe, that was the work that was just completed.
Yes.
Right, okay. So that's a big check mark off the the master plan, at least. So right now, I believe there's $40,000 in the budget carried over from last year for storm drain. And the next lowest dollar amount on the list, I mean, all of the high-priority storm drain upgrades are multi-million dollar. The smallest, next highest, or the least expensive, highest priority storm drain upgrade, I think, next on the list was $800,000. So with $40,000 budgeted and no increase, perhaps we should think about maybe funding a little bit more over time. Mm-hmm. There's some lesser priority, like on Nichols, the cross gutter. There's lesser $400,000. There's lesser priority drainage improvements. But, you know, people in Southern California don't think about flooding until it rains.
Yeah.
So it doesn't rain all that often. So that's how they can keep kicking the can down the road. Mm-hmm. But perhaps maybe just an incremental increase in the funding to help us address the higher priority storm drain issues might help, whether it's a few thousand dollars or not. But right now we're at $40,000, maybe look to add a little bit for next year, maybe $5,000, something like that. So anyway.
Is there a amount of, since you've got a background in public administration, is there since we are looking at some high budget item repairs, is it appropriate to establish like a fund that you would contribute to every year?
I think that's what we have for the infrastructure reserve, but we had to use that. But that's what we're trying to establish money in for that purpose.
Yeah, so
you put in extra money for that. Right. It's a general infrastructure. Okay. To be used for those types of projects as we accumulate sufficient monies to move in that direction. That's what.
How much is being contributed each year then?
So the storm drain is a couple hundred thousand.
Couple hundred. Oh, okay.
150.
That's not bad. Okay.
150, I think I want to say.
That's not bad then. Okay.
Yeah.
So 40 would just stay in storm drain, and then the 150 would be the general infrastructure in case. Okay.
And to add, you know, we continue to grow that.
Right.
So as we grow, so it isn't growing by 40,000 a year. You have more.
Right. So instead of adding money to storm drain, you're saying you're keeping storm drain as is and adding money to the general infrastructure
as we decide where the
more flexible
the priority. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. But a general fund contribution to that.
Okay. That makes sense to me. Okay. So recommendations, Bill. You want to go through the recommendations?
Sure. We recommended that a separate slurry seal program be done. It be taken out of the street plan. It can be done with specs only. The cost savings is most contractors don't do slurry seal themselves. They have a slurry seal contractor do it. And in doing so, you're incurring at least a 10 to 15% management fee from the general contractor that does the asphalt. So I think you can save by eliminating plants. This can be done with specs only, and you will get cost savings in design and construction. Second.
That makes a lot of sense.
I brought an example, too, of a project that City of Downey has out right now. And really, all the information that's shown can be on an 8.5 by 11. Probably can be done by interns. The quantities that are listed on the sheet could be a spreadsheet in the spec. And all those quantity, length, width, and area are already included in your PMP. So it's just a matter of identifying the streets to be slurried, taking the square footages out of the PMP, putting them on the list and taking a quick look at striping and stuff like that. So I think it would be a very efficient way of using a slurry seal budget, or a slurry and crack seal budget.
Okay. Now, in doing a slurry seal, most of our streets are going to have some structural maintenance that's required too. Is that generally part of that, or would you have, let's say, a repair contractor come in? Like, I think El Camino has been doing our repairs in the past couple of years, but have them come in and do those repairs before you do the slurry seal
contract? Technically, the repair people are small operation. Mm-hmm. They're usually very small. They go in. You're not talking All-American.
R.J. Noble.
R.J. Noble, Excel Paving, all of these big guys. So when you're talking $1 million project, you will get the attention of the big boys that will come in and compete. When you're doing small repairs, you get the small...
El Camino, Benz.
Bell Asphalt, those small guys. Small they come in and do the little patching work. Like Vista Santiago, right here down the street. They came in, did a little, couple of little patches, did the slurry seal, and that was it.
Yeah.
If you combine it with a street plan, then he will still hire the same people to do
but
the work.
But you have to pay them for their markup.
Right. So that's something to consider.
Yeah, there's a nice subsidence that's, I think it's right out on Santiago by B of A, kind of between B of A and Queens, somewhere around there. I remember, I know, I've noticed seeing it. It's a big, it'd be good to repair before something happens.
Maybe the first thing that should be done there, if it's that big of a dip, I'll have to look for it, is call Serrano up and get them out there to make sure that what's not causing that dip. Usually bigger dips are caused by leaks.
Well, this is not a huge area. Yeah. It's, maybe, 3.5-4 feet.
Yeah, but that's fairly significant. So the first order of business was to contact them and have them inspect their line there to make sure that they don't have a problem there. Mm-hmm. And if they say no leaks. Yeah.
They just replaced the sewer, right?
Yes.
You just replaced the sewer. Right.
On the other side.
Yeah.
On
the far side.
Yeah. So it shouldn't be any sewer problems. So, check with
we'll
them.
Check it.
Yeah, have them check their system there. Yeah. And if they say, nope, we're good, then we know that it's a subgrade failure of some sort. Yeah. And it could be patched with our on-call El Camino people, I guess. Okay.
The second recommendation is the city staff perform small pothole patching and crack seal that is as needed.
Is that something that you think can be implemented? I don't
you
know
mean
what
by
kind
staff?
Of equipment. Yeah.
We because have only two landscape maintenance staff, per se.
So they're not capable of blowing out a crack or fixing a pothole?
Well, you need the equipment, first of all. And
we're talking small stuff, not big.
And even that, you still need... They fill in with a...
Cold mix.
That's the only thing that they do.
Yeah.
But for you're talking
so they
about
do it.
They do
They for filling it with the cold mix that they do that. But if you want them to come in and repair that pothole, dig it up and so on, that becomes an operation.
Yeah. Right. But the point where I think that Santos makes is if there is a pothole. And you leave it as is for 2 years, the water gets in, and it gets worse and worse and worse. And so basically what we're saying is, if it is small enough, just fill it up with cold mix, tap it. And
they do that. They do
so
that.
After heavy rain, or if somebody calls, there's a pothole on my street, then staff should be able to get out there with cold mix and fix it. Yeah.
Cold mix,
so
yes.
Continue.
With cold mix, they do that. Mike Lee does that all the time.
We began doing that.
Yes.
Okay. And crack filling, would they be able to do that?
Well, crack sealing, you know that they need the equipment, they need to be hot in order to apply it and clear, blow it and so on and all that. And I don't think that's, you know, it all depends. You want to invest in that blower, you want to invest in the also some, you know, sealer tank and things like that. And you need more than one person to do it. You need somebody to for the traffic control and somebody is to do that. Then, but that's a city policy if they want to go for that or not.
Okay. The cost of the equipment would probably be minimal. So yeah. It's just a matter, and if it's an ongoing, you know,
I know
twice a month,
the city public works director up in Fullerton, who just came, who came from Diamond Bar, they indicated they do the hot, and their largest workers' comp claim ever in the history of the city came from one of those employees that was doing a hot seal. So they're now burned himself. It went down the boot. So there are contract, they've been told by their council they're contracting out. They're no longer doing it with city staff because it took a crew too. So I just, in talking to my counterparts in some of the discussions, I guess that was sort of... not to say it's not a good thing to do, and they're going to continue doing it. It's just you have to have people that know what they're doing.
We would our suggestion is that be done with with the either the street maintenance work or the street rehab work. So that will be just automatically done at that time.
That can be done by a small contractor rather than going through the pavement.
Yeah. So my point was I was in talking to them. I think what we're going to be doing is recommending contracting, you know, getting into a contract with them. So we do have people that know what they're, you know, I don't want to incur a liability because somebody who doesn't know, you know, does it wrong. I mean, it's multi-million dollars. This person almost lost their foot type of thing. It was just a terrible situation. So anyway, so I think we're trying to go down the same route, but not incur a liability along the way. And I think you're right with, they have a small contractor, but if we go in with them, the contractor is going to be much more attractive for them and give us a better rate as a result.
Yeah, we've got a plethora of cracks.
We would get a certain number of like dedicated days per month that we would do it and have it, you know, like if we need it, we need it, we don't, we call off the, you know, the days, but that way we would have certain days twice a month, once a week, whatever the days we could figure out. So that's what we're working on right now. And they like the idea, they're very placentious also. I mean, there's a couple of us that are trying to do it because of the same issue. They all heard about the workers' comp case and said, whoa!
yeah, for sure. Yeah, I've done some research into this that I've shared with Steve, and it's, I guess, crack filling is, at least Caltrans believes that crack filling is the most cost-effective way that you can maintain the longevity of your pavement. And if you look at Caltrans, like on-ramps and so forth now, they're really heavy into crack filling to reduce their costs.
Yes, but without having a slurry seal to come in after it's ugly.
It is.
So I don't know, as a resident, I really wouldn't want to live too long with a street that's just crack sealed. So I would, you know, for that, I would say that effort should occur with or in conjunction with a street that is already scheduled, not before. We don't crack seal them a year before and then pave them. We don't crack seal them, you know, a few months before and then pave them. We make that operation and pay for that operation then out of the maintenance budget or include it with the
street. What you're saying, which is 100% I agree with you, is to put it as part of the slurry seal program.
Or street rehab.
Or
it should be
rehab.
Because it will, it's normally, normal practice is it's included as part of the street rehab process and included as part of the slurry. So there's no reason to bring in a separate contractor unless we run out of money for slurry seal, I guess.
Yeah.
And just trying to do. But again, the slurry seal contractor should be better equipped to do that type of work.
Now, you have a recommendation for how frequently a street should be slurry sealed?
Well, it depends on a traffic or weather condition?
Like, let's say for residential streets and
like ours.
Like ours.
Like ours? It was slurry sealed before we moved in.
Mm-hmm. And it's gone.
And it's completely gone. And it's been 10 years.
10 years.
Yeah.
So
about 7 years.
Mine was gone within 2 years. They used a water soluble slurry seal in crack fill.
See, that
and
has a lot to
it
do
all
with
washed
it
out.
Yeah, the association. I sit on the board of association also, and the homeowners association has on their schedule slurry seal every 3 years.
Wow.
Okay, because they like to keep the community looking nice all the time, and the one change that we made is because we went with rubberized asphalt, the first rehab of the community, it's actually performed a little better. So slurry, we've recommended maybe going to a 5-year, if you use rubberized, maybe going to a 5-year to keep the look. But it may last, I mean, San Clemente looks great after quite a while.
Okay, and, let's move on.
Yeah, let's move on before we run out of time.
Okay. We recommend that no crack sealing should be performed on streets that are already scheduled for rehab. The reason being is once you seal the cracks, come back, and then grind it, you basically give it away, the whole, take it away, the whole crack seal. And, at our last meeting, Akram, you suggested that I go and review all the cracks, and I did. And I did a whole nice report with traffic index, size of cracks, length of cracks, and then we were waiting for the meeting.
And then the meeting never happened.
No, yeah. I was told that to present it at the next meeting. Mm. And then when I went back 3 weeks, or was it three weeks later, I was already crack sealed and everything.
Yeah, I mean,
so don't give me assignments that you're not going
to
use.
No, I mean, I was hoping to get something from everyone, but I didn't get anything. So we end up crack sealing, you know, some of those streets.
It was because you had a contractor
on
board already, right?
Yes.
We walked the whole thing. We basically measured every crack, designated which one, did our own PCI index evaluation. That kind of stuff. So, okay. So the next thing is your payment management. A study is like a drive-by. So I think we need to supplement that, since we're all technical engineers here. I mean, this infrastructure committee is really a technical committee. And we're here because, not because we are public first, but we are engineers with experience. So you basically have access to 5, you know, top engineers that you can rely on for evaluations. So what I'm saying is we need to do a better review of just the drive-by. That pavement management.
So are you suggesting, because part of the PMP preparation, it is required by OCTA and Measure M eligibility.
Right.
This is the format, and this is what they want to be done. Are you suggesting something different from
I'll
that?
Suggest,
because
I'll
we're going to be awarding one this coming year.
To do what? To do
another pavement evaluation, pavement management evaluation for Measure M eligibility that needs to be submitted.
We just did one last.
Every 2 years is required.
Okay.
So we're going to have to do it before June of next year to be submitted with Measure M eligibility package.
I think what this Bill is recommending is so that what we're getting is a drive-by, but we've got professional engineers that are on this committee that could do maybe a walk and get, you know, and fine-tune those recommendations and those ratings.
Okay. Basically, when we do pavement management, mm-hmm. we don't do drive-by. We isolate each track separately, look at each track when it was constructed, what kind of pavement it is, and then do an assessment, not just drive through at 20 miles an hour with a guy that's making, I don't know, not a whole lot of experience. I'm saying maybe more, maybe you should look at your proposal a little better. I mean, maybe add some things to it. Because a couple of the streets that we looked at, we definitely didn't agree with the pavement management.
Yes.
I mean, you could go to the other extreme, which is La Belle Marvel, where he goes in and does the flexion testing throughout the city and gives you a really gold-plated one. And you can do one that's a drive-by, hello. And so I think somewhere in between. Mm-hmm. And what I'm suggesting is you have access to all of these people here. So well, we can help. I mean, that's the whole purpose of us coming here and spending 2 hours. Trust me, I have better things to do, too.
No, and then what is, to clarify what you're saying, then what we'll do, we'll prepare the specification, the RFP, and the detail of the tasks, and before we send it, we'll give it to you for the committee to review it. So this way, if there is any additional...
Happy to do it.
Yeah.
We'll be happy to do it. Basically just an extent. I mean, the way I look at when I was approached by Councilor Calcott, it's like we have Accra that comes in only 6 hours a week, and that's it, or 12 hours a week. And one of the suggestions that we did is like, you know, with the cost savings that we're getting, extend his hours and then give him access to these engineers that are living here and can help you in just like with the cracks. Anyway, so let's go through because we only have 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Suggested in-house plan. Plan check, you mean?
Well, I think that has to do with the plan for the slurry seal streets, where if we're suggesting a separate budget and separate funding for maintenance versus rehab.
That makes a lot of sense.
That the plans could be done with just staff and interns in-house, and you could still get a really tight bid that way and save the construction markups and so on. So that was that one.
So 6 is recommend conventional AC instead of rubberized for all local residential streets. And then provide a bid alternate.
I don't think it would take too much effort because there's generally a $10 difference per ton, right, between rubberized and regular AC. And with the right mix, you should be able, why are we using rubberized maybe on local residential when regular AC, a good mix of regular AC would save us money and still give us the what we're looking for as far as roadway surface. So it'd be easy, I'd say, to include a bid alternate in the next round. You can bid it with rubberized, as you've always done, and then give an alternate to the contractor for regular AC and see how that turns out. See if we can save any money. Rubberized would still be used on arterials or collectors.
could recommend professional evaluation prior to construction of the next fiscal year improvements in order to provide a minimum design life of 30 years. Basically, we ride our bicycles. We were looking at some of the streets that were done before Akram was here, which was 11, 12. And we found cracks and stuff. And that's basically less than 10 years. So we're just saying, you know, let's get a minimum of 10 years.
Mm-hmm. We need a design life of 10 years. Yeah. Yeah. I think as a minimum, we don't have the money to keep going back every 5 years to seal cracks and fix these streets. So we don't know what happened with 11, 12 with that fiscal year's rehab, but if you drive those streets now, you'll see that the probably the same cracks that were in particularly the cul-de-sacs are emerged. I mean, and I'm not talking about a little crack. The crack is opened up across the entire cul-de-sac, and we should be expecting a lot longer life than that if we're going to spend this kind of money, you know.
Yeah, I did a quick calculation here. We've got the estimate from Akram that, let's see, which one it was. Okay, the City of Villa Park has done rehab projects covering 9.03 miles since 2011. And quick calculation is that we've got, that means that every street will be rehabbed once every 85 to 86 years. So,
that's tough to swallow when your property taxes are over $10,000.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's really difficult. We're not going to wait 85 years, obviously. The streets won't last. We can design. You know, if the direction, if people think we can do it, we can design for 20 years. A lot of agencies are where they don't want to come back, especially on, like, smaller roadways. They don't want to come back in 10 years. They want to come back in 20. Then we can design for that. Mm-hmm. So it may costs a little bit more to do that, but it's going to take more than, I mean, Akram doesn't have x-ray vision, so it's going to take, I think, a professional recommendation from a pavement engineer. He doesn't have to look at every street because usually an area is probably the same, and it was all built, the tracks were all built in the same years and stuff. Soil conditions don't change, you know, maybe every 500 feet, you know, or more. So, I don't know. Is that a consideration of the design life?
Well, basically, I don't know what they're doing right now. So,
yeah.
Like, obviously, for example, some other cities basically have something called R-value map. They have a map that shows what the R-values are. R-values basically determine how good your soil is. So when you're using your calculation to calculate the structural section, you just go to that one R value, find out what the street, where the street is, what the R value is, and then put it in a Caltrans program, and then you get a structural section. So I don't know what they're doing.
Like La Mirada spent only about $5,000, I think, in like a whole phase of
$5 million.
16 miles of streets to take a look at their R values and soils. And that was done simply with just a shallow hand core. So I think if with a little effort on our part, maybe we can enhance the longevity of our streets, spend our money more wisely to get more bang for the buck. Yeah.
So
let's finish up a few more.
Recommended design specification for stiffer AC makes for better pavement. PG 70-10.
Yeah.
Recommend that Serrano notify Serrano Water District of all utilities prior to construction so they can do their, I'm sure he's doing that already.
They already are.
Research potential, okay, this is a big one. Research potential, federal and state funding source programs to extend the city budget set aside for infrastructure improvements and maintenance. So we have to start early because the call of to projects has already passed. The deadlines was in May. We brought this up, but we should always be on the lookout to stretch your dollar. Mm-hmm. And like we said, we've done it before. We can help if you need it. I know you're limited on staff, and Akram is only here 16 hours a week, or 12 hours a week.
You're increasing it.
Well, I recommended that they increase it to at least 2 days a week. So I think that's and you mentioned at the budget meeting.
Yes.
The fund, I didn't get anything from you regarding what the fund is.
I've forwarded it.
Yeah. So, you know, if you need help with filling out forms, you know, we can help. What is that one?
Oh, the next one is as part of the review of the street rehab for 1718, you notice that the detail for the digouts, which are these localized areas of removal, was shown as a composite section. I don't know if that's actually what they're building. That was shown on the preliminary plan. We recommend that a full-depth AC section be done because, number one, it goes faster in construction. It eliminates the need for compaction testing, which was a day or two.
It's 6 inches.
It's a stronger section. Yeah. Well, what's shown on the plan is a composite section. It's aggregate base with a leveling course C with the overlay. That means that no matter what size area, the contractor has to put down the base, he has to prepare the subgrade, put the gravel down, do the compaction testing, wait a couple days, and come back and then do his base course and then do his surface course. Who's inspecting all of that?
No, we're right? Doing it as
full depth AC. Full
depth, okay. 6 inches full depth.
So make sure that all the details on the plans get
we modified
corrected
it, yes.
To that.
Yes.
Okay, okay.
Because that's not what you did in San Clemente.
Huh?
You need to talk to your design people. They're not doing what you did in San Clemente.
In San Clemente, they did. We used to do it over there in San Clemente.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah,
so the same thing in here. We did it. I mean, even when we got El Camino paving, we did have
what you're
specified
about.
As.
But on the plans,
they forget
still,
to do compaction.
You need to talk
and
to
those
these
little
designers.
Areas, you know, a couple it. Years down the road, they'll start sinking.
Yeah.
Okay, what happened there? Or what? You know, so if it's not a leak, it was a poor job in patching, perhaps. And when they have that kind of a section, then it makes it very difficult for them to get the compaction necessary. So full-depth AC is always the way to go for those kind of areas. That would be our recommendation. And the last one is for the budget. Yeah. So what I came up with, and I don't know if Bill agrees or not. I typed this thing up. So I was going to recommend a budget of $900,000 for street rehab and $200,000 for a separate slurry seal pavement maintenance program. So that's pretty much in line with the report that was given in 2016, I think by Akram to City Council, which showed that by this year they would need, or we would need to increase the PCI level to about 83. We would need 1,070,000, I believe, in 2019. So this is a little bit more than what I think what Steve and Akram had mentioned with 800,000. But I think that that is the city's main asset, and that's what we need to be doing is trying to catch up to this every 85-year rehab type of thing. So that would be my suggestion. So what do you think about that?
Yeah,
good? Yeah. storm drain left at 440,000 boost the infrastructure, the floating infrastructure budget, increase that as necessary with annual contributions, and for sewer, again, that's use the dedicated fund. There's no general funds right now going to sewer. It's all going to infrastructure. Yes. So, okay. So, I would agree that that would be okay for now.
So, if you could email us your list, then we could combine it with Matt's list.
Yeah, and then, so we'll wait to see what Dave asks.
Then we'll get it to you. Great. Or do you want them separate?
No, together would be wonderful.
Yeah,
thank you.
It'll be one big list.
Yeah, I think they all really overlap, so.
Yeah, but it's...
So, any closing comments before we adjourn?
If just so we could get it, I mean, time frame, June 3rd, I have to go back to the council again.
So the next budget meeting?
Yes, the next budget.
So you need the list before June 3rd? A week before?
No, just... Yeah, okay. June 2nd is fine.
Okay.
Just before June 3rd.
Okay.
Not on June 3rd, because the night after.
PDF.
That's fine. Yeah, whatever you know, whatever.
We have everything.
Whatever you can transmit to me electronically.
PDF, Word, WordPerfect.
That's great.
You name it. We got it. Adobe.
Yeah, so that's 1.1 million. Okay. We have a 3 million budget.
Oh, we noticed that when we went out the second time to look at the crack ceiling.
I forget.
No. Four and a half million.
So 1.1 million. You go look at it.
It's like settled, so.
I mean, it's a big commitment. Like this, but
the
hopefully, the
ceiling is
gotten behind.
So the hot it creates
on main street maintenance over the years. So.
You know.
So next meeting, do we want to discuss that now?
Yeah. Are we every 3 months? Is that the?
But then they have
I can't remember.
It was almost as needed, but June 3rd is the next budget meeting. The final budget will go at June 28th.
Because if you haven't released them, you can
do we want to meet before June 28th, or is it not necessary? And how do we present the recommendations?
We will incorporate, if you get it to before June 3rd, I can get it into to the council on June 3rd.
Okay.
And then very candidly, it becomes a political discussion, not a... you know how that goes, like the hearing. They have to decide, three of them have to decide what they want, you know, any one direction.
Right.
It takes 3
days. How much they want to spend and
that's
where.
It's sort of, we can offer our suggestions at that point, and then they have to sort of tweak and whatever, and 3 of them decide they want to go, you know, whatever the 3 or majority says.
Would our accomplishments and recommendations need to be presented before council, or would it be in their packet for the
What I was thinking, but on 3rd, if we could have just the recommendations, and then we can submit a more formal report, maybe, and have you present it in June or July, whatever you feel like. We can write something up when I get it, you know. That would be a more formal presentation. We can agendize it as part of the regular council agenda. But I'm thinking for purposes of the budget recommendation, in order to get, by law, June 28th, we have to adopt a budget.
Okay.
So we have no choice.
Right.
But
so should she present at the budget workshop?
Well, I'm thinking that, candidly, the recommendations, if you get them to us, we'll present them to they'll be in the package for the council.
Okay.
The recommendations. Should she be there to answer any questions?
It's certainly up to her. I'm not going to commit for anybody
for
being there.
For,
it's,
okay.
You know, it's her... Whatever the council, I mean, sometimes the council asks questions, sometimes they won't. I don't know. I mean,
several of these items are fairly technical.
Tuesday,
June 4th.
We will include
all of them, right, and whether or not
it's on Tuesday.
They need to be involved.
Yeah, I was
just
saying, you're exactly right. Some of them they're not going to worry about. It's, you know, the design, some of the elements they're not going to worry. Their big thrust on June 3rd, June 28th will be what's the dollar amount.
Right.
Monday.
That's going to be their big issue.
It's June 4th.
So, you know.
Yeah, just
because we started on Monday.
You were at the last one. They're not going to get into, you know, the difference between rubberized asphalt and they aren't going to get into that level. None of them probably have the background or expertise to know any of that discussion. But what they would know is the number and why, you know, what we're recommending. So that recommendation set would be in their package.
Okay. Okay, we'll pull something together with everyone's help. If you could email me yours, we'll try to. And like I said, there's a lot of overlap, so.
So I would just focus.
Hopefully, it's okay with you if I take modify. And
if you can sort of gear your sort of maybe two waves of recommendation, you know, sort of. I'm thinking as I listen to you, because there's a lot of work that you went into about what accomplishments. Maybe it makes sense to do a year-end report at the end of June or early July or whatever, which is more comprehensive of all the accomplishments, et cetera. But the recommendations for budgetarily, to get the input in, now's the time. So you've got to get those in. So I would focus now on the first wave of recommendations. Uh-huh. Shoot those forward, like right away.
Okay.
And then after you get the input all together, we can talk about the best format and way to get a bigger report that's more comprehensive.
Typically, the committees present their year-end results.
They don't. Most of them typically do when there's an issue to be addressed. They'll come forward, like when the finance committee when they're recommending that the city council take action on developing a trust fund for retirements or whatever. You know, they'll come forward with that, and there's the same discussion on there going. Maybe that they do a sort of an ongoing year-end report of here's what we've done. You know, but a more comprehensive, and that can either be done a larger report that we can give them. But you do, the chair would come and do a presentation at a council meeting and say, "Here's what's going on."
So the recommendations that lists you want will be only the ones that are.
Well, I think we want to focus. For June 3rd, we really want to focus on budget. That's what they're
budget,
going to really want.
Yeah. So anything
that's
that
what
has
it
to
is
do
a budget
money.
Workshop
right.
entirely
okay.
focused on budget, and that's really where. That's when the timing is important.
Okay.
If you miss that, you sort of miss a window. The window sort of closes, and the council has to take action regardless.
So when you send me your final recommendations,
to the streets.
Think about budget numbers
that you would like to
propose,
run.
Or whether you concur
yeah.
with the 900 and 200,000 that was mentioned. So, and we didn't address, like I said, the other infrastructure items, so if you have comments on the budgets for those, just let me know, and we'll see if we can get something together.
Okay.
So next meeting, do we want to set that now, or wait, or?
Do we have to wait for the other two?
Wait for the other two.
Maybe wait it out.
Can we do that?
That's entirely, I can send out a note saying when are they available,
and
we can kind of do it that way. What might make sense before we present something, if we get together, and maybe you and I, in the month of June, come up with sort of a big report or idea of how to do a report, and come back to them, they can all have a chance to review it, and see what's going to be, before it gets presented to the council.
Okay.
So
let's target that for the end of the fiscal year.
Yeah, that's
the end of June. Okay.
Yeah, so maybe you and I can get together at some point prior to, if your schedule permits, and then we can do that. June 30th is the end of the fiscal year, so, it doesn't have to be, July or,
it's coming up fast.
Yeah, it's flying, but that's kind of.
Right.
The agendas tend to get packed at the end of June because everybody, we have to do things prior, we have to adopt certain things, take action.
Okay.
So it might be best to come out with a report in July, presentation.
That would be fine.
That's the fourth Tuesday of each month.
Fourth Tuesday, okay.
So just sort of mentally, if you can, it gives us maybe close to 8 weeks to pull something. So if we got together before that, it might make sense. But I'll shoot survey out to everybody.
All right. Any other items before we close?
Okay. If you're out walking, have you walked up the trail from Valley up Sierra Villa?
No.
Okay, where you've got that big crib wall, retaining wall. You'll notice that most of the, it's a pretty steep slope, but most of the DG is in pretty good shape, fairly level, except where there are some places where people's backyard drainage goes across, and then you've got deep ruts. If you've got any recommendations on how to address that situation.
Absolutely.
And going up that route, what they've used to stabilize the DG trail is 6x6 treated wood timbers that are kind of at an angle towards the curb. So that you don't have a long run of runoff before you get to one of these timbers. maybe even, putting a couple of those timbers around that area where you've got the drainage coming from, the residents. Anyway,
but typically the only... most agencies don't allow runoff over
DG.
The public right of way, especially if it's DG. So and concentrated drainage.
Yeah, I do.
So
that's what it
that's,
is.
They should have been required to pop in a curb drain or something like that to take it if there's curb there at all.
There is a curb.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess you could go underneath the DG with just a
4-inch
four-inch pipe or something mm-hmm. out and do a curb cut.
Mm-hmm.
Or a, yeah.
We'll have to look at each condition. Okay. Anything else before we go?
Thank you.
No. All right. We are adjourned.
Oh,
it's 9:18.